It's great to be with you this morning, to be back in your midst. Thank you, Bill, for the invitation. Before we think about the word, let's just bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, thank you that you have spoken to us. You have revealed yourself to us through your word. Lord, in these few moments, Lord, open our minds to your truth. By your Spirit, give us understanding that we may apply your word to our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do have Deuteronomy 8 open in front of you as we go through. At the harvest, once again, we meet to give thanks for the abundance of God's provision. We have to praise God for his goodness towards us. We really do have an abundance. And with that abundance, there comes a responsibility upon us. It's something that is good to do. It's good to be reminded of the many blessings that we enjoy day by day. Equally, it's good in the midst of that, as we give thanks, to think about where we as a people stand before the Lord. Because as we shall see, I think that's part and parcel of the point of our responsibility. Giving thanks is something that is drummed into us from when we're very small. Don't forget to say thank you. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? And yet, if we're honest, forgetting what's really important is something that we're all very good at. There's a story of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson where they go on a camping trip. After a good meal and a bottle of wine, they lay down for the night and went to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes awoke and nudged his faithful friend. "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replied, "I see millions and millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" Watson pondered for a minute. "Astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately a quarter past three. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are very small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that tomorrow will be a beautiful day. What does it tell you?" Holmes was silent for a minute before he spoke. And then he said, "It tells me that some thief has stolen our tent." When we're looking at the obvious, sometimes the obvious becomes the last thing that we think about. This is the reality when we think about all that God has given us and done for us. We see it, we enjoy it, but also all too often the giver is forgotten. And we focus on the gift, the material. We focus on ourselves, our needs and our desires, rather than remembering the one who satisfies our desires completely. Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy and think about what Moses is saying to the people of Israel, because he's making a very similar point to them in this book of Deuteronomy, in this chapter 8. The book of Deuteronomy is largely made up of three main speeches of Moses as he gathers together their history, their situation, and the law given by God, applying it to all of them. They are, in fact, three expositions, sermons, if you like. The servant of God preaching the law of God to a people who need to trust in God, who need to take God seriously, given the mistakes of the past. As he speaks in Deuteronomy 8, there are three things that we need to think about. Firstly, acknowledging all that the Lord has provided in the past. Verse 2 to 4 says this: "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. The question is, when is a disaster not a disaster? It's not a trick question. Moses is looking back at the history of the people of Israel during their wilderness wanderings. It could very easily have been described as a disaster, as a waste of time. The people who left Egypt, many of them didn't ever see the land that had been promised. Sin got in the way, so that they spent 40 long years in the desert. Was it a disaster? No, because the Lord is sovereign, and so he was using it as a time for God's people to learn what it really meant to be God's people. That is, to trust God completely and to live out their lives under his rule faithfully. As Moses looks back, he sees very clearly God's purpose in the humbling experience of their time in the wilderness. And yet the truth is, in the depth of their need, God was there. He is the one who provided for them. In giving them manna, their bodies were nourished. They have plenty. But if it's just a case of God providing what we need, then they've missed the point. In the same way for us today, if all we do today is give thanks for the food, for the harvest, then we've missed the point too. There was more to their time in the desert than food for their bodies. There was more than just mere survival, staying alive. Moses tells us in verse 3, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And for us, of course, we can't help read that without thinking about Jesus, the one who not only read it, but applied it to his life at the temptation. And then later, as Bill's speaking of from John 6 there, said very clearly, I am the bread of life. He believes in me, will know resurrection, will be raised on the last day. In its context in Deuteronomy, what's it saying? Firstly, it isn't a denial of the fact that we need bread. Quite clearly, life needs bread or its equivalent to exist. Secondly, though, we have to say that Moses isn't simply making a comparison between physical bread and spiritual bread, that one is better than the other. No. So what is he saying? The answer lies in the text. In their hunger, in their moaning and groaning, it is fair to say, God promised them manna, giving them clear instructions to be followed. Moses then says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The wilderness was to be a learning experience. They had to trust God, not only for his provision of food, but more importantly, in his provision in keeping his promises. The obedience of their lives to his commandments, to the instructions that he gave, was the proof that they were trusting God's word completely. When God said it, they did it. The promises to them were made, and he provided. The one who spoke of food to be given in the wilderness is the one who speaks the truth, and the one who keeps his promises, both for them and for us today. And of course, that's the reality that we see in the Lord Jesus, speaking these words. Who is the one who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises for his people. As he becomes a man, as he walks this earth, as he points to who he is, and as he dies on a cross and rises on the third. Do you trust God to provide for you? As you say thank you to him for the fruits of the field, are you mindful today of the greater provision and the more necessary food of God that he has provided for you in his word, in his living word, who makes available to us all the promises to his people made to Abraham and indeed Moses in their day? They knew God's word fulfilled in part, and yet lost the gift through the ongoing sin and disobedience of their lives. We are in a privileged position today, knowing God's word fulfilled in that permanent and lasting way through the cross of Christ. Well, let's think a bit more about the promise to them and learning the lesson of the wilderness. We know that they had to acknowledge the past, but in doing so, secondly, they had to know all that the Lord had promised and remain faithful people. Verse 6 to 9 says this: observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. It poses the question, when are we better at turning to the Lord? In the good times or in the bad? Of course, we know the answer to that, don't we? We know it all too readily. And so did the Lord. Which is why there's the reminder here, very specific reminder to the people entering the promised land. A land which had been promised, a land which had many good things in store for the people of Israel. And so they're clearly told to observe the law, to walk in the ways of the Lord, and not to forget the Lord. It was easier in the wilderness to know that you're dependent upon God. They had the reminder each and every morning as they collected the manna. However, in prosperity, the dangers are obvious. Forget who has given the blessings, because actually, just look at all the good things we have. Aren't we great? It's a bit like going back into the 1960s and to the Israeli army in 1967 in what was known as the Six-Day War. They found themselves under attack from the surrounding Arab states, who wanted to obliterate them off the face of the earth. Well, that might have been their intention, but actually in 6 days, victory was Israel's. And there was the cry that went up, God is great, he has given us this victory. How after only a short time later, they were saying, isn't our army great? Aren't our generals superb? God was being forgotten in the midst of the blessing. So when the people of Israel entered the promised land, they found a good and plenteous land, just as it had been promised. But like each of us in blessing, they too forgot their need of the Lord. They turned the land and the work of their hands into the cause for celebration. When times are good, who needs God? It is bizarre that the greater testing for them and us is not when we're struggling. It's when we're coasting. But that's the reality of what we're like as human beings. God has been faithful. He had a promised land for his people as a nation. He had promised them, going back right through to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Moses is telling us it is to be signed and sealed and delivered. But they will remember to recall the hand of God in the past and in their present. Will they? Or will they forget? If their responsibility to obey the Lord and to walk in the ways of the Lord was great entering the promised land, how much greater is our responsibility to honour the Lord in faith, in obedience and in life, knowing the blessings that we know in Jesus? The abundance that we know in Jesus is greater than anything they dared to know. Because what they knew was a pointer for us, a pointer to the fulfillment that we would know in Jesus, to all that Jesus would provide for us. We stand in the blessing of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Is there any aspect of your life in which you cannot, in which you can afford to forget that? That you are blessed in Jesus. That you have life in Jesus. That you have hope in Jesus. Well, the unfortunate thing is that they did. And all too often, we're no different. So thirdly, we see the danger of living a so-called self-made man. Verses 10 and 11. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship them and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. The danger is spelled out very clearly. Achievement. Achievement that leads to pride. We see the point illustrated for us in the parable that Jesus told of the rich man, the rich farmer, in Luke 12, who was so successful that his harvest was so big that it wouldn't fit in his barns. So he thought about it and he came up with a solution to build bigger barns. And there's nothing wrong with that. Where he went wrong was in his heart. Because in his heart, he said, I've got all this. I don't need you, God. He forgot God in the midst of it all. The result would be judgment. Judgment that would lead to condemnation. Where he would leave behind the good things with no treasure stored up in heaven. His fate was grim indeed. Well, as it was for the rich man in the parable, so it is for the people of Israel who Moses speaks to. The warning is given. Do not forget the Lord. If you do, destruction awaits. The problem was simple. God had given them a land that was abundant in the fruits of the field. However, the lush land soon, as we've said, became the focus. Then it was the hands of men that worked the land. But in all of that, it wasn't very long before the blessings of the land weren't attributed to God at all. They weren't even attributed to their own hands. They were attributed to Baal, the Canaanite god of agriculture. He was the one that was giving these blessings. God would be dethroned in their lives and replaced by pride and false worship. The result would be that Assyria and Babylon would await them. God's judgment upon them as a proud and stubborn and faithless people. In the midst of God's rich blessing, they would need to be humbled, to be reminded not to forget the one who is truly God. If the consequences for them in forgetting all that God had given them and done for them were great, again, what about us? God has given us the greatest gift of all, eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he expects a harvest of righteousness in our lives through faith in his Son. But if we forget Jesus, having known these blessings, if we turn away from him, forgetting the blessings that he has have been bestowed on us, then I think we need to hear the warning in the same way that the people of Israel needed to hear the warning to them. Do not forget the Lord your God. The lesson that we learn from this passage from Deuteronomy is that we don't rely on the land that produces the abundance, rather we on the fact that man does not live by bread alone, but that which comes from the mouth of the Lord. We depend upon God's grace, his grace that we know in the word of life, in the living word, the Son, who came to be our Saviour, to redeem us and to raise us to be with him. As we give thanks today at this harvest festival, are we trusting in Jesus alone? Are we serving him? Are we witnessing to the truth that we know in him? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for the abundance of all that you've given us. That you sustain us day by day. Thank you more for the blessing that we know in Jesus, for the life that is ours because he died for our sins, and the hope that is ours because he rose from the dead and is interceding for us in heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.